Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From the gospel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he of whom was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Most of my professional career, I was referred to as Pastor Mark. I think that's partially because Pastor Stenbeck was my dad. Also because when I went on my vicarage, my internship year in Dallas, Texas, I was called Vicar Mark. And then they called me back as an assistant pastor. And we had an elderly, kind of crusty old secretary. And she said, I might be able to spit out Pastor Mark, but I don't think I can make it to Pastor Stenbeck. But whether it was Pastor Mark or Pastor Stenbeck or the more common just pastor, I've always been thankful and appreciative that my name was associated with the title of pastor. To get to be a pastor, a shepherd, and all that that's meant to me and all the people that it brings to mind in the 46 years I've been a pastor. Well, the key player in our text for today also has a title associated with him. We almost always refer to this particular John as John the Baptist. Our text starts with a grown-up John the Baptist, but I want to back up for a minute and review what happened when the angel Gabriel came to talk to the old priest Zechariah. You remember what happened. Gabriel said that Zechariah and Elizabeth, even though they were quite elderly, were going to have a child, a very special child, one that would prepare the way of the Lord. But Zechariah doubted. He didn't immediately believe the words of the angel. And there was a consequence for his doubt. He struck dumb. He cannot speak and is told you will not be able to speak until what has been promised is accomplished. Maybe we should remind ourselves that sometimes we are a bit slow to believe the promises of God. Maybe I should rephrase that. Sometimes I think we're slow to live as if we believe the promises. Slow to hear, slow to believe, and then slow to put them into practice. As a consequence, there are times when I think we miss some of the blessings God had for us, or at least those blessings are delayed until we sort of catch up with the process and we get back in the will of the Lord. Well, a second point I'd like us to remember is that God kept his promise. He didn't say, Zechariah, you've blown it by not believing. I'm not going to do it anymore. No, he sent John the Baptist. And John's job was to prepare the way for the Messiah. I think we can take comfort in the fact because we let God down sometimes. We don't always do all God asks us to do. We remind ourselves that God's will is going to be done, sometimes in spite of us, not because of us. I think we can take real comfort in that. We don't have to earn God's love and forgiveness. We don't have to deserve it. It's simply given to us as a gift from God. It's given to us while we were yet sinners. Well, returning to our story, we see that Zechariah learned from his mistake. You recall that when John the Baptist is born, they come together and they want to name him, and everyone thinks they will name him after his father. But Zechariah is bold. He takes a tablet and writes on it, his name is John. And immediately God gives him his voice. Gives him his voice, and Zechariah begins to thank and praise God. He thanks and praises God that he and Elizabeth will have a son, but more importantly, that this son is to prepare the way for the Messiah, which means the Messiah is coming soon. You and I are to learn from our mistakes. When we let the Lord down, we are to build on them so we can better serve, better obey, better share the good news of salvation with our world. The last part of the last sentence of that part of Zechariah's story reads this way. The child grew and became strong in his spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. So when we get to our text for today, it's 30 years later. John is full grown. He's a rough guy. He's out there eating locusts and wild honey, which doesn't sound all that good to me. But he's doing the work that God has sent him to do. And what was his work? Here were the words of the angel Gabriel. He will go on before the Lord in the power and the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make a people prepared for the Lord. John's job was to speak up. To speak up and talk with the power of the great prophet Elijah. To tell people that the Messiah, the Savior, was coming soon and they ought to be ready. How were they to prepare? How did John go about preparing them? He preached. His job was to preach, to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the word of God. I assume he told the Old Testament stories about God creating the whole world and putting Adam and Eve into that world, and then Adam and Eve falling into sin. I'm sure he told about how God had promised Adam and Eve, even as they were being put out of the garden as punishment, that one day a Messiah would come, a Savior. I'm sure he spoke of the great ancestor Abraham and how Abraham had obeyed and gone to a foreign land because God promised him a land flowing with milk and honey. God promised him that his children would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And he promised him that one of his descendants, a very special one, would be the Savior of the entire world. I imagine he preached on occasion about Moses, about God leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, about God's continued love even when the people were disobedient. I'm sure he must have talked about over and over the history of the children of Israel, how they fall into sin and then repent and God would forgive them and give them a new prophet and then it would be repeated. Above, behind, and through all of these messages would come the conclusion. Always the promise. One day, the Savior will come into the world, and this Savior will forgive all your sins. A Savior who would make it for all people to be reconciled to God for eternity. John must have preached those stories, and I'm sure he preached with great vigor and great fervor. And then the dramatic conclusion, the Messiah is coming soon. John said, I'm the one that Isaiah predicted. I'm the prophet to prepare the way. Good news. The Savior was coming. But John also preached the law, didn't he? He had preached the gospel, but he preached the law. And what's the message of the law? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Greek word here indicates that this repentance is to be an ongoing action, a continuous action, literally work at being in the state of repenting. Wasn't all peace on earth goodwill towards men. It wasn't everyone will be okay as long as they're sincere. It wasn't all roads ultimately lead to God. No. The message was there is a God. This God hates sin. This God has promised to punish sin. He demands obedience to his will. And yet he has promised a way out of sin, a Messiah, a Savior. And therefore, people ought to repent. But what does it mean to repent? We remind ourselves repentance involves two parts. The first part is to be sorry for your sin. The second part is to turn away from that sin. I may have mentioned this story before. It's from my father. He went to a state prison to visit a son of the congregation. He had been captured when he and an accomplice were robbing a drugstore. Police cruiser came into the parking lot, shined a spotlight into the drugstore. The accomplice jumped up because he was afraid and started to run, and they were captured. My dad heard the story, he talked to the prisoner, and he said, "Have you learned anything from this?" He said, "Yeah, next time I won't take that dummy with me." He was sorry that he had gotten caught, but not sorry for what he had done. I submit that sometimes we are sorry that we get caught, but not as sorry as we probably should be about the sin itself. Repentance is not only feeling bad about something that's happened or that should have happened that didn't. It means doing something about it. Doing things to avoid temptation in the future. Filling our lives with good things so there's less room for the trouble. Do we still need the message of John in the year 2022? I think the world certainly does. The world right now is not all peace on earth, goodwill towards men. If you listen to any of the political election stuff, you heard a lot about crime and what it's doing in big cities. But several weeks ago, I was dropping off something here at church. I think it may have been peanut butter back in the peanut butter drive. But anyhow, I drove, and as I drove around the corner down here, I saw a man with a Veterans of Foreign War hat standing waiting for a bus. And when I went back, he was still there. So being a former chaplain, I thought, I'm going to offer him a ride. Picked him up, and he said, I need to get downtown. I'm meeting some other men. We're doing funerals. That is at Camp Nelson down, yeah. We're doing military funerals today. He indicated he had lived in Lexington. I said, how long have you lived here? And he said, oh, a long time. He said, but it's changing. He said, crime is so much worse now than it used to be, and I'm worried about it for my family. There is crime and violence and hunger. There's greed and hatred in our world. We're told that the time will come when men will call evil good and good evil. And I think we're at that time right now. Does America need a call to repentance? Does America need to be reminded there is a righteous God? A God who will someday judge all people? I think obviously America does. But how about making it a little more personal? Do we? Do you and I need a call to repentance? Is John speaking to us? We're already Christians. We already believe the great good news. We're even here on a Sunday morning to worship and praise him. But the answer is still an obvious yes, isn't it? We all need to constantly hear God's call to repentance. John says our repentance needs to be an ongoing event in our lives. Why is that important? Some in our congregation are living their last years. And if we look at the lives of the people we love, there's illnesses and loneliness and financial stress, and all of those things are taking a toll on people. Death is a fact of life for all of us. Our end will come. We don't need to fear it. We don't need to worry about it. But it's reality, and we need to be ready. I love the attitude of a man who frequently visited my California congregation. When I'd say, how you doing? He'd say, I'm one day closer to heaven. Pretty good attitude. But how do we get that attitude? How do we prepare? Simply by believing what John the Baptist proclaimed, that Jesus Christ did come into the world to be the Lord and Savior of all, that he did live a perfect life and fulfill the law, that he did die on the cross of Calvary, but he arose victorious over sin and death on Easter morning. Jesus Christ now lives and reigns and rules, and he will for all eternity. Jesus said to you and me, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, if you believe, you have eternal life. Faith is the preparation for our eternity. It's worth repeating. Faith is the preparation for whatever comes in our immediate future and our eternity. So John says, now bear fruit that shows repentance. He urges us who have confessed our sins, who have given our heart to Jesus Christ, to live lives that show our faith. He urges us to seek to be of service to one another. Well, why is this strong message about repentance in the Advent season, in the preparation for Christmas? Simply because without the knowledge of sin, People don't feel the need of forgiveness. They don't feel the need of a Savior. And so we need to be reminded that we are not all that we should be for God, so that we rejoice that God loves and forgives us. I may have mentioned my black sheep, Uncle Sam, before, but my Aunt Wilma was a lovely person. She gave her life to education as a teacher. But Uncle Sam never seemed to be able to hold a job for very long. Remember one time he came through our small town in Nebraska, in addition to writing a bum check on my dad, he was all excited because he had created a new little toy, the kind of toy that would be in a cereal box. And because my other aunt and uncle worked for the chairman of the board of General Mills, they were caretakers on his estate, he was sure they'd get him an interview. The interview would result in them buying his toy, and he would make a lot of money. And he made my brother and I a lot of promises about things he was going to buy for us when he came into all that money. Nothing came of it, of course. Great expectations came to nothing. It was false hope. During the Christmas season, the world has all kinds of false hope and joy. The kind of hope and joy that comes from spending money and buying presents, but then starts to fade when the bills show up in January. It's hope based on things and not on a relationship with other people, and certainly not a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray for each of us. We have a lot of parties and gift giving and visits and good dinners and a lot of fun. But let our real hope, our lasting joy, be the good news of salvation. The proclamation from John the Baptist that the Messiah was coming. That we have a God who loved us so much that he sent his Son to be our Savior. And all we need to do is believe the great good news. That Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So let's listen to John the Baptist again this morning. Let us work to be in the state of repenting, for the King is coming, and we want to be prepared. Let us live in the joy and excitement of being God's people, baptized into him. He claims us as his heirs. And may we enjoy all the blessings that God wants to give us in this life. John and Jesus both have titles. John was the prophet to prepare the way for the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, your Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.